Composer Leonard Bernstein would have turned 100 years old this year, and what a life. He's perhaps most famous for the groundbreaking and still searing 1957 musical West Side Story. It rocketed him to worldwide fame at age 39. A year later, the dashing conductor of the New York Philharmonic gave his first televised lectures on classical music, the wildly popular Young People's Concerts.
And we're going to listen to music that describes emotions, feelings, like pain, happiness, loneliness, anger, love. I guess most music is like that. And the better it is, the more it will make you feel those emotions that the composer felt when he was writing it.
We're going to take some time now to examine the Bernstein from a decade before that, the years right after World War II ended, and he wrote his second symphony called The Age of Anxiety. Our guest Fran Hoffner writes about classical music, and she says this piece in particular very much speaks to her. What was happening in the world when Leonard Bernstein wrote this beautiful symphony, his second symphony, in 1949?
Well, I think you see a lot of general confusion and disillusionment in the years following the Second World War, and no doubt that also played into a big part of Bernstein's life as he was trying to navigate his own career. You know, he moved a lot between conducting and composing, and maybe is perhaps best known for his film scores now, but was also trying to work within maybe a little bit more of a classical composer career narrative for a bit.
So the title he gave it is The Age of Anxiety. I don't know if he's talking about his own age, which was just 30 at the time, or the state of the world at the time. What do you think?
Well, so he based it on a W.H. Auden poem of the same title. And that poem, I think, was extremely sort of reflective of modern anxieties of just young people living in cities. And Bernstein's friend sent him the poem and just thought, like, wrote him something along the lines of, I think you could do something really interesting with this piece of writing and translating it into music.
The poem is about four strangers who meet in a wartime bar in New York City. Kind of an unusual concept, though, for a symphony.
Yeah, and I think he sort of waffled between making it, you know, a ballet or an opera. There was so much that could be done with this general idea of four characters, and yet it comes together as this six-movement symphonic composition.
Let's listen to the second movement now. It's titled The Life of Man. There are seven variations, and there is this moment. Love this. What do you like in particular about that?
I like the playfulness of this little section here. I think it broadly shows, you know, a more optimistic view of childhood that quickly descends, I think, into a little bit of like angst and anxiety with teenage years. And I just love the way in which this movement in particular fluctuates.
So we're talking about in the seven variations, various stages of life.
That's how I've always interpreted it.
The whole piece, as you suggest, is pretty dense. Six movements. The second one, as we said, has seven variations. The third movement is called The Seven Stages. The idea gets kind of exhausting, but let's listen to part of the third movement. Sounds a bit like a cityscape gone awry.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the piano plays a really interesting role in this, in that the pieces for orchestra and solo piano, it's not a piano concerto by any means, so it almost puts the piano and the orchestra on equal footing. They're constantly in dialogue with each other.
And what keeps it from complete chaos of a city, as many cities are? What keeps it musically from that?
I think the balance and the constant back and forth between the piano and the orchestra I see the piano as kind of the protagonist, and maybe the orchestra is the city and the times, if you will, and having those constantly be in dialogue and never letting one get too far away from the other is what keeps a very tense balance between them.
The fourth movement is called The Dirge, featuring solo piano. Let's hear it. Kind of contemplative and then urgent.
Certainly. I think the most stressful movement in this to listen to.
How come?
There's something that puts me truly on edge just listening to this. I think it really creates a great sense of suspense about what comes next, and the percussion really comes to life in this movement.
Could you take a step back a little bit, Fran, and tell us more? I mean, we can appreciate the music ourselves. What do you find so relevant about this piece right now?
I like that it's a piece that's sort of constantly in transit. It's moving not only through time, but also through setting. And I don't think you have to know that it's based on a poem in order to appreciate the way in which it kind of carries you through a more abstract and confusing narrative. I think the emotions are really present and front-facing about the piece, and kind of just knowing the title, Age of Anxiety, brings it all to a head. And I also think it's a really just powerful work about youth and the unknown and this, like, really tenuous balance between suspense and anger and some real profound joy.
Yeah, when you talk about in transit, Bernstein himself was often in transit. He wrote that he worked on The Age of Anxiety in Taos, Philadelphia, Massachusetts, and Tel Aviv in planes, hotel lobbies. He was kind of moving all the time. You say the piece is the same way?
Yeah, and I like that he just always carried it with him.
You mean literally working on it?
Yeah, yeah, and like I think it's reflective of something that, you know, like an idea that sticks, that no matter where you are is kind of with you.
And if you think of all the movements as slices of life, this gets to a kind of interesting, entertaining slice of life. In the fifth movement, it's called The Mask.
Yeah, so this one is a little bit of a dance, and I also think it just foreshadows a bit of Bernstein's career. I think you can hear sort of elements that would eventually go into West Side Story or his On the Waterfront score. It's really playful and bright with little semi-sinister undertones to it. I love this movement. I get obsessed and listen to this one sort of over and over again.
Bernstein wrote so many things that are whistleable or hummable. This is a symphony, so, you know, there are parts of it that I think people might recall or gravitate toward casually after hearing it. But you listen differently, and I wonder why you think that the piece itself made such an impact and still makes such an impact, you know, on somebody like you.
Well, I think what's great about this piece is it definitely has a lot of those very, what we now know as classic Bernstein refrains that do become hummable and memorable. But the broad darkness of the piece and how it feels kind of unknowable and how it ends on such an uncertain note, I think allows it to kind of transcend into something that sticks with you a little more. It is a little bit of a disturbing piece of music without being, you know, ugly or anything like that.
You mentioned the end of the piece. Let's listen.
Really like just sort of the dark undertones of it, and I think that's what makes it so powerful and resonate with audiences today.
So the music keeps building toward the end. Fran Hoffner, who writes about classical music, talking to us now about Leonard Bernstein's second symphony known as The Age of Anxiety. Thank you so much, Fran.
Thank you.